It's Thursday the 16th of August and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips, but unfortunately there is no Aaron, so therefore no party. Hello there, Sean.
Hello Paul, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself? Looking forward to the season?
Very good, very excited. Glad hockey's back. Admittedly in pre-season form, but it's like baby ice hockey, really, isn't it? It's just to get you started and ready for the main event.
I just don't like pre-season ice hockey. I've decided every year I say I don't like it, but this year I really mean it. I should have gone on Saturday, which by all accounts was a good game, but I didn't enjoy the home game on Sunday. We are going to talk briefly about the games against Nottingham, though. Some sort of moments from that and first impressions of the new guys. We're obviously going to talk about the changes in the team that have happened since our last episode way back in June. Before having a quick chat about both ProPad and Coventry, which are the last of our pre-season games. And then we've got a burning question to probably end with, I think. But we'll see how it all goes, how it all fits together. Aaron's obviously, as everyone knows, the brains of the organisation. So it's just winging it a little bit from here on in. But before we get onto the Nottingham games, the last few changes. When we last recorded, Sean, we didn't actually have that many players signed. I think we only had three of our imports announced in Joey Haddad, Joey Martin and Matt Pope. So we've had nearly all of last season's team have returned. We already knew at the time that Drew Parris and Andrew Hotham weren't coming back and joining them on the departures list. Patrick Astley and Paul Crowder as forwards and Tyson Strachan on D. I think for me, I'd probably say Sean, Tyson Strachan's probably the only one there that I would have hoped to see back, but I don't think I expected any of them at the end of, you know, as the off-season went on.
Yeah, I think you looked at Strachan last year and what he brought to the team. He was exactly what we needed. But I think that it was a case of a one and done. You look at what he achieved in this short stint year as well. Like you look at last year and why put that pressure on yourself this year to go and do it again? I think, you know, going out on a high is an important thing as a professional sportsman, and Strachan won his last game in a playoff final, so you know you can understand his reasons for moving on. And obviously he's got his business back home, his NHL career is long over, and it's just maybe time to move on from the game. But Patrick Aslin, I think some people probably did expect him to come back. Obviously maybe didn't quite hit the heights last year as he did in his first season, and Paul Crowder was just one of those a perfect third liner. He stepped up when he needed to on our top six and produced as and when we needed him to. He's gone and found a club in Fife, which I think he'll thrive at. And I'm glad he's got a club. I'm glad he didn't go back and retire after, you know, coming to sign with us after the 1 year of retirement. So, yeah, I'm pleased that he's got himself a new club. But obviously you look at our new blood and it's quite the lineup with the departures and new and replacements.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely change it. So Paul Crowder, I think, probably the player that split the Devils fan base the most across the course of the season last year. But I was always sort of on your side with it, but I thought he was good as a third liner. I think sort of the biggest thing that went against him was that I don't think he was naturally a third liner. I think his game suited the top six better, but there were nearly always six fit players that were better than him doing that. So I think he was a bit of a square peg in a round hole. And I agree with you. I think he'll probably see top 6 minutes in Fife and, you know, hopefully see him, you know, he'll do really well and sort of show what he can do. I say really well, you know, within reason, especially when playing against the Devils. As you mentioned, new blood then, I guess that's a nice little way to move into our only new D-man signed so far. There seems to be a new one, another one due to be announced that we're still waiting on. But Ben Blood, Sean, has come in. You probably imagine as close a direct replacement as Strachan as we've got. Obviously, we've got a total. The Devils probably had to reshuffle the makeup of the D this year with Hotham being almost irreplaceable. But Ben Blood for Tyson Strachan, it's you know, he's coming with a hell of a resume, 3 years in a row. In Finland, you're playing at a level that, you know, we never used to, we've very rarely sign players straight out of Finland. So how do you see him fitting in as that sort of replacement stay-at-home D?
Yeah, I see him fitting in really well. I think that he's going to be, I think he's going to be a much more hard-hitting defenseman than we saw with Tyson Strachan. I think Tyson Strachan was very, very calm, very composed, smooth on the puck. But this guy is a very, very good skater. You don't play 3 years in the Finnish league if you can't skate. It wasn't, you know, a half season here, a half season there, up and down. He played three solid seasons at that league, with two different clubs. So obviously someone, his last team, ASAP, must have saw him playing for the Pelicans in Liga and picked him out to say, you know, we want to go and sign this guy. And I think that's a massive, massive, trade up for us. I thought Strachan was fantastic. I see it as a bit of a trade up in terms of mobility. He doesn't quite have the experience that Strachan has, but I think playing at that level for such a long time in Benblad, I think he probably end up being a better skater than Tyson Strachan with. I think he'll finish his hits a lot harder and a lot more clinically than Strachan did, because I think they're just a slightly different type of player. Both stay at home, but I think that Blood will end up being more physical. I think we'll see more of the aggression, more of the fights come from him. We didn't see Strachan drop the gloves, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't remember anything.
No,
he had Redick on his line though, so there was never a need.
Oh, of course, yeah, that would make total sense. But yeah, I trade it up in some respect, but not in another. I think it's quite like for like, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Ben Blood. He made a bit of an impression on Sunday. I thought he made some. We'll come on to it a little bit later, but I see the makeup of the D with him looking quite similar. In terms of being a direct replacement to Tyson Strachan.
Actually, yeah, and so you brushed over it, but the fact he's played for a team that almost sounds like Ashat is absolutely outstanding. So that's my favourite thing about Ben Blood. But I didn't know before I looked. So the Ashat alumni, as I'm going to know him as from now on.
I'm sure he'd love to hear you say that. I'm sure he'd love to hear you call him that.
I said alumni, so he's an alumni of Ashat. He is one. He's a big, scary man. I obviously would never say such a thing. That would be ridiculous. So that at the moment, that's where we are with the D. And so move on to the three other signings or forwards. And so just before we get to them, it's something that I think I've said a couple of times to people I've been speaking to, but any one of our signings, the leagues they've come out of, would have been a stud signing 3 years ago for us. And we've signed four of them with someone else to come that, you know, hopefully is going to be of the same, if not even better quality. But the first of the new forwards that was announced was Mike Hedden. Again, coming three full years in the DL. He is also another alumni of Ashat in Finland, where he played just before. I have got a new favourite thing. I've got a new favourite team. I might have to trade in the Devils and become a fan of Ashat in the Liga.
I'll get you a beanie hat for Christmas.
Fantastic. I cannot wait. But Mike Hedden coming in, Sean, three straight years off the DL. And, you know, I think everyone was looking at it thinking, oh, there's our top import new signing in. Probably didn't turn out that way, but Mike Hedden looks to be a really good pickup and, you know, another experienced forward with, you know, so much time in top leagues under his belt.
Yeah, you look at his resume and it's just excellent top to bottom. You know, you look at his stint in the AHL as well. Three regular seasons with Texas Stars, one Calder Cup as early as 2014. You know, 4 years ago, he won a Calder Cup. Went from there to the KHL for 12 games, played at Ashat, as you mentioned, for 39 games, and then three straight years in the DEL with Straubing, with pretty decent point production, 34 in 52, 44 in 51, and 31 in 52. So, and I think that is a massive, like you said, a couple of years ago, we'd signed a guy from the DEL, and it would be your top signing. And he's a Thorold native as well. I think he knows Sean Bendavolio and Joey Martin very well, which is good. It's good that he knows people on the team as well. He should settle quite quickly. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what he has to offer. Who he's going to be paired with is really interesting. I can't really looking at who you just look at our team and it's so deep that you can't think of
there's really.
you have so many options. You just don't know where these guys are going to go. But I think Heddon is going to be a massive, massive part of our success this year.
Yeah, and you know, 155 games in the EL, 210 in the AHL. Both of those, he goes over a point every other game, which is outstanding. You know, and to be doing that last season, that's not someone who did that 10 years ago, and we've picked him up on the downward slope. He's he's had three solid years in the DL, so you know, an absolutely outstanding signing. And yeah, you'd say easily that's a top six player, but then you sort of name all the other players that we've got and you think, oh, is he? Does he get in? He will. But it's just crazy, crazy, crazy strength. Next to be announced then was Steven Dixon, who ingratiated himself to the Devils fans at the shirt sponsorship by discussing the English atmosphere that he's enjoying since being in Cardiff. He backtracked quickly to mention it was English speaking that he was enjoying. But you're another guy off and someone else who's playing for Assat. This is like the best thing ever. How have I never noticed this before? The research that we do, I'm just realizing all of our players have come from Assat in one way or another. Oh, this has just made me. I might end the podcast now because I need to go and buy myself an Assat jersey. A bit more of a gritty player, Sean. I would probably potentially expect him to see him playing as a centre, maybe third line, but then I don't know. What are you expecting from Steve Dixon?
Well, again, you just look at his resume and he could. I think he can play anywhere. I genuinely think he could play on any of the top nine. Is a former teammate of a devil we know very well in Chris Culligan. They played together for Cape Breton Screaming Eagles in the Quebec Major Junior League. I think at that stage, Steve Dixon actually played for Canada at under 18 and 20 level at the Junior Championship. So his career is, again, you just look at these resumes that are coming in, and it's crazy to think how far we've come when you get just these guys coming in. And I think another part of Dixon's game which will benefit from greatly is he does have some CHL experience. He played in the CHL last year with Wolfsburg and with Tapara the year before. So that's one side of his game which will benefit us greatly. And he's a fairly big guy, I believe, 6 foot, 194 pounds, and I can't talk about it so much because I just don't know where we are going to put these guys. There are so many options, as we've said again.
It is, it's unreal. And just someone else who's gone almost a point every other game in the AHL, same in the DEL, over a point every other game in Liga, 100 games in the KHL as well, which is, something that we just don't see. Well, we didn't see in this league. Do you think it's a deliberate ploy, Sean, that, we've spoke about three, but with Charles Langley as well, when we get onto him, all of our new imports have got extensive experience in Europe. Is that just these are the best guys that were available, or do you think there was a deliberate ploy from the Devils? With an eye on the CHL and, everything getting faster, that they wanted that European experience brought into the team?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I think it is. I think from what we've achieved the last 2 years, we've got to start aiming for the stars a little bit. And our ambition should this year to be, if we crack through our group in the CHL, it'll be a fantastic year from the offset. We want to do that. That's one of our targets, I think. And with an eye on that, we then need to sign the best players available for us to try and succeed in that. And you look at what we've done with that European experience and you think that we've had a bloody good go at it. And I think that this is the best team that we've signed in a long, long time based on experience. Obviously, it's still pre-season, so it's hard to get a gauge of exactly what they are all like. But on paper, this is the best Cardiff Devils team I've ever seen.
Yeah, oh, comfortably. And, I think in terms of the depth, I think a really strong argument you made for all time. I think I know, ISL predates both of us, but with the import limit, we're probably going to be benching one of our forwards. But if we put the team we've got right now, we could put Josh Batch on D, and we would have an import forward on our fourth line stood next to Craig Moore and Matthew Myers, for example. You know, that's outstanding. So yeah, there's, and as you said, there's just so many options right the way through the team that we can go stack that way, pop, drop Batch back on D, or even more, which we will have to do until the new D-man's in. And then the final signing, me just talking about how we don't get players with KHL experience over here. Devils go and sign Charles Langley straight out of the KHL, straight off, you know, a full year with Dynamo Minsk. We talk about resume, Sean, but this really is a resume. Over 300 games in the AHL, a point, well over a point every other game, and over 300 games in the KHL, again, over a point every other game. That's just, you know, an outstanding signing, isn't it?
Yeah, and a point, and over a point every other game at international level with Belarus, has a Belarus passport, and that's a Poole, that, yeah, I think, from memory, that's a Poole nation, so.
They definitely were this year, and have been for a few, so yeah.
Yeah, so he's been a point every other game player at some of the top leagues in the world and at international stage, so, this was the, I think, you look at the Devils recruitment this year, and you see all these other bits and pieces, and you are thinking, wow, this is good, this guy looks good. But you look at Charlie Langley, and this is the crown jewel in the sign in front. And what a sign-in. What a brilliant sign-in. We were at, you look at the open training session that the Devils hosted, last week, and, you know, normally they're not that, you know, enjoyable, but you look at the speed on that team, and particularly, Charles Langley, and they are just rapid. This guy is absolutely unreal. He's just so ahead of everything all the time, and you can tell he's played at the level he's played at. I think he might have to slow up a little bit to play in this league, or we're going to get offsides from him left, right, and centre.
Which, you know, and so the one probably question mark that you could have over him is his age at 36, but, you know, a guy doesn't play 55 games in the KHL and then 6 games in Poole A, who's starting to slow down and struggling with his age, you'd imagine.
Yeah, and to play at that level as well, you have to be a proper professional athlete. You know, they don't slack in that. If you slack in the other aspects of your game, you can't play hockey at that level, because it's just such a high level and such a fast pace. So I don't think he's going to struggle with fitness at all in the elite league.
And yeah, you know, obviously it is a drop down from the KHL, and you know, whilst the league is improving, still probably quite a considerable drop. So you just think, and yeah, you could, some of the things that he did in the training session, just a couple of things he did against Nottingham on Sunday, you know, the same Saturday, but every now and again he'd do something, you just think, wow, that's, you know, just, it just sort of shines out in those little moments.
Yeah.
But you know, it's because, you know, in a half speed game, it's hard to really, not half speed, but, you know, in those type of games, it's hard to notice, you know, players consistently playing well, because it just doesn't happen, I find. And
yeah, definitely.
To lose to stop paying attention. The last D-man being added, you know, one more player to come in, but hell of a squad the Devils have put together, and it's sort of something that, you know, I think we've both spoken about as well before, that I've loved all the teams, you know, under the new era have been great. Probably last year's was the one that I was the least excited about. And when we'd signed it, it was great, but I never really got into it. But the buzz that I've got about this team is, you know, a level up again from, you know, 4 really exciting years of hockey. So, yeah, you know, I probably can't wait for this year.
Yeah. When you look at last year, the new additions that we made, so you've got Matt Pope, Justin Farina, Paul Crowder, Drew Parris, and Bryce Reddick. And, you know, we signed Matt Pope from the Asia League, which, you know, it's not a bad league by any stretch of the word. We signed Justin Farina from Dundee. Drew Parris came from, I believe it was the Allsvenskan from memory. Bryce Reddick was playing in Norway Norway, something like that. And this year we've signed 3 guys from all our new guys, you just look at where they've come from. As we've said, two straight from the DEL, one from the KHL, and then Ben Blood from Liga. You know, that's and still one more to come, which I don't doubt will be an impressive signing to go along with those. So it's we have probably gone all out to make sure we do everything in our power to get through that group stage of the CHL this year, and to be the first team to three-peat the British Championship in history as well.
Yeah, never been done, and you know, I think that's, you know, the Devils have spoken about that in, you know, sort of a couple of things, that's what they want. They want to make history and be the first team to do that. It's I've sort of got a taste for it. Yeah, it's not a Monty, but yeah, you'd still take it.
Oh yeah, it could be an Egg Cup for all I care, to be the champs. It could be an Egg Cup, so
might have looked better.
It'll probably feel like a Monteith ball in my hands as well, so you know.
Well, that's it. You'll know what holding a Monteith ball felt like for the rest of us. So let's talk about the weekend. Nice Devils went up to Nottingham. We've not even mentioned the fact that it was the prestigious Aladdin Cup. It was high pressure, high intensity. Yeah, I almost don't think we should have a pre-season for the Aladdin Cup. It's stupid to go in cold as we did, but
yeah,
you know, there need some questions answered that we haven't retained it. But you made the trip up to Nottingham, Sean. Hopefully a lot of our listeners tuned into the play-by-play from the Red Army Roundup account on Twitter as well. You've kept me up to date as well, so thank you for that. What did you... worth mentioning just quickly that not starting on Saturday were Ben Bounds, Lane Olmer, Joey Martin and Matthew Myers. So, you know, not the ideal start for pre-season, having four guys sitting out. Obviously, the Devils haven't released any reasons, but you know, you can't imagine there's four players being rested, you know, through choice there. So you're a bit of a disjointed lineup. Three of our four likely starting centres missing as well, Sean. So you know, how did that make for a spectacle?
Yeah, surprisingly, it was quite a good spectacle. You know, a 10-goal pre-season game with your backup in. Overall, it was quite a good game to watch, actually. Passes were tape to tape. It was fast. Guys weren't pulling out of hits. It was fairly physical, which was good. To be honest, for a preseason game, it was really, really enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. Which not often, like yourself, Paul, preseason isn't my favorite thing either. But you know, a lot of the guys got some regular minutes. You know, Craig Moore, good to see him back on the ice since his injury last year. He got a lot of ice time, as did Tom Zrutkus, and scored an absolute worldie as well. Go check out the highlights if you haven't yet, but it was a great goal from Tom Zrutkus, his first as a Devil. And overall, it was a shame, really, that we didn't get to see, or that I didn't get to see as much of the new faces, because I feel like they are massive scoring options for us, and we spent a lot of that game on the kill. Nottingham had one penalty when there was 8 seconds left in the game, and we had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think it was about 8 minors, you know, so it was 8-1 minus. So our penalty kill got a great workout. Nottingham scored 2 power play goals, so you know, it was a good exercise, well worthy of us going up there. Giving some minutes to Thomas Murdy, pulled off some big saves, made a couple of mistakes. But overall, good game, enjoyable to watch, a very good workout for the guys. The new guys got a bit of a feel for the pace that the British game will be at. Obviously, a bit slower than it will be when it gets competitive, but I think it's good to, you know, get a feel for the style of play. It's a very, very unique style of play to play North American style on an Olympic rink, and I think that's something which takes a while to get used to. So it was definitely worth going. It was good fun and a couple of very, very pretty goals as well. Joey Adad's was excellent. First shot of the game, 3 minutes and 51 seconds in. And the goal from Ben Davolio was great as well. Dixon fired a wonderful pass right into the slot, perfectly weighted onto the tape of Bentivoglio, who couldn't miss. So there were glimpses of what we could offer going forward, and obviously a lot to work on as well.
Yeah, which that sort of sounds almost like the perfect outcome from a pre-season game. You know, glimpses of what you've got to offer, but you know, after a week, well, under a week on the ice, you probably expect that. I think probably the biggest negative of the game would have been Justin Farina going off after taking a puck to the face, Sean, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a puck to the face. It looked quite nasty. There was blood all over the ice. They had to get the Zamboni out as well, actually, to clear some of the blood off the ice. Although I think that was mainly down to the lack of experience from that much blood from the Nottingham Arena staff. But I think then the rest on Sunday was precautionary more than anything.
Yes, yeah.
And like you said, you're already, two or three key players down, two or three centres. Farina then goes missing, and it didn't really cause many issues, but you could have just done without it.
It's four forwards not icing in total by the time that he's gone off. So,
yeah.
You know, as you said, there was increased minutes for guys like Tom Zrutkis and Craig Moore, but you know, probably everybody saw a little bit more ice time than
they weren't used to.
And Andrew Lord would have ideally wanted at this stage of off season, I guess. So, which may sort of explain the following night that everything was a little bit slower. And you know, I sort of did feel like the Devils ran out of gas a little bit sooner than Nottingham. But again, sort of Saturday night, Justin Farina, as you said, was missing. Ben Bounds and Lane Oller came back, but Joey Martin and Matthew Myers still sitting out. So, you know, again, that's still practically still effectively a forward line missing. So, you know, Devils probably putting a few more minutes in their legs than they would have expected. So, you know, running out of steam and, you know, Nottingham 1-6-3, and you know, I think it's probably fair to say almost spectacularly uneventful game, Sean.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it at all.
I think Nottingham scored on their first shot.
Yes.
And I think the Devils may have scored on ours. It felt like it was quite an early... We hadn't had a lot of shots before we went in, I think. But
Fournier, from memory.
I think so. You have reminded me of the one thing from this weekend, Sunday end, that Fournier just seems to put his hand up and say, you need an Andrew Hawthorne replacement. Yeah, here I am, guys, because...
I'm your man, yeah.
He was electric. He was, you know, up and down the ice, like he was last season, but, yeah, I think he's probably getting a few more minutes again. Andrew Hoffman being gone, we'll probably see all of D getting more equal minutes, but he properly put his hand up, I thought, and said that, you know, I'm the guy, I can be the number one D man in this team, and you know, fair play to him. I think he's definitely got the potential to do it, so it would be absolutely fantastic for that to come to fruition. Really probably not a lot else to talk about on Sunday. You know, nice to be back in the rink. You know, a decent sized crowd as well for a pre-season game, but you know, as you'd expect, you know, quite quiet in the arena because you know, not that much to get excited for, but it's just nice, you know, as much as I moan about pre-season, it's nice to just get back into the rink and you start sort of feeling ice hockey again. So
it's a pre-season for us as well, isn't it? Come on.
That's it, you know, getting everything going again. Just, you know, getting your seat back comfy again, sort of, you know, finding the sweet spot on that, yeah. It's all the important stuff. Getting used to the new drinks, yeah. It's all changed this off-season, so it's... I'd imagine for us, this pre-season must have been like moving from the tent to Ice Arena Wales, with, you know, everything being different, so...
Yeah.
I was going to say, right. Do you want to do a burning question or look ahead at the rest of pre-season first, Sean?
Oh, shall we look ahead at pre-season first?
Let's. So this weekend, double home header against HK Propad. Slovakian team. I don't feel so bad saying that I don't know much about them, given that in Andrew Lord's Ice Time interview yesterday, he said he doesn't know anything about them. Because obviously focusing more on the Devils pre-season. It's always good to get new teams over, though, Sean. You know, we play the Elite League teams a lot of times over the season, and you know, you discussed how Nottingham are a good chance for the new guys to see what the Elite League is about. But Pope had probably more of an insight into the type of games we'll be expecting first up in the CHL.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a very, very speedy team. You look at when we played Banska. I think that year we played Banska Bystrica. Was that the year that we played Zagreb as well, from memory?
And Tilburg. Yeah.
And Tilburg, yeah. So that was, I think at that stage, Banska was about the level that we, you know, we couldn't compete with Zagreb. You know, it was just one of those things. We were never going to compete with Zagreb, but Banska were a level that we could compete with. And I think we won. Did we win both of those games?
No, I think we might have won the first, and I feel like the second was very tight, but I can't remember if we won it or lost it.
Okay. Slightly. All right. But yeah, that is the perfect level for us to find the step up then. Like you said, we've played one British team in Nottingham. Now we've got to find another gear and step up to play these guys. And then we get a bit of a break when we play a lackluster British team and Coventry come to town. So, yeah, it's good to get that under the belt and probably, I think Andrew Lord used the expression as well, to get our lungs going and get our legs going a bit faster. And I think with the boys, it will have been really hard at work this week to get the systems right. And I think you're right. We don't have to win these games. It's not about our opponent. We need to get ourselves fixed and ready to go first. So, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. I think that it'll be the sort of game where we find our team hopefully click into gear. And we see the scoring power come, you know, we can flex our offensive muscles and show what we're all about and what our team identity is going to be going forward.
Yeah, I think it'll be this weekend that you really want to hope that you start to see a bit of, you know, chemistry and maybe a couple of lines just clicking into place, at least for the start of the season. So, sort of looking forward to it and, you know, sort of some new teams over. And as you so kindly put it, that the lackluster weekend for Bank Holiday following with home and away games against Coventry. Chris, I sort of thought it was strange that we'd gone back to Coventry for pre-season when I saw it was announced. But I've got to say, I think in terms of the least travel, the fact that we play on the Thursday after at the start of CHL,
yeah,
I think it probably makes sense that, you know, they're probably going to be the most physical of the teams, but, you know, without wanting to write them off, it's, you know, a bit of a lesser workout there. You know, not expecting them to be challenging. And, you know, though I do think, you know, so looking at the team, I think they've probably made some improvements on last year, but obviously I think it was yesterday, the sort of big news that Kevin Astiuk's not going to be going back to them, Sean. And, you know, they rode him last year the way that they rode Brian Stewart for the 3 years prior.
Coventry riding a goalie? I've never heard of such sorcery.
but, you know, Kevin Astiuk, due to illness, I don't think it was specified, but isn't able to return. So obviously all the best to him. Coventry moved quickly to sign Mika Wiekman as the replacement, but yeah, you know, I've got to say, as a team who have been accused occasionally, maybe once or twice, of riding a goalie, I'm not convinced Mika Wiekman's the guy that I'd be turning to. What about you, Sean?
No, I kind of would agree with you on that front.
Has he played a full season over here yet?
Has he what? Sorry,
Has he played like a full league season? Because I feel like he's always either
injured. I really don't know, because I think I got to be honest with you. I do not think that this will be Coventry's goalie for the year. I don't see that happening at all. He didn't last. Was he signed in Milton Keynes to start off with? I believe.
I just called it up. He went in. I think Odrobny was injured right at the start, and he came in, shared it a little bit with Odrobny, and then
Odrobny went and left.
I know he was injured. Like, interestingly, last year in Milton Keynes is the most games he's played in the Elite League, which was 42. He did 41 in Nottingham the year before and 34 the year before that. So it's, you know, he's not done, and it's a 60 game season this year. So he's even taking the Challenge Cup out. He's 20 games off, you know, what he's going to be expected to do in the league. And that season in Nottingham for 34, which is his lowest in the Elite League, is that's normal for him. He's not a guy that's ever played that one season, maybe two over 40 games. You've got to agree with you. I think that whether he finishes the season in Coventry or not, I'd be surprised if he's the only import goalie that wears a Coventry shirt this year.
I think that the fact that he played, I think he was probably still in the country as well. It's a quick shrewd signing. He doesn't need, he won't need a work permit, so they can fly him in straight away. I think it's a bit, it is a smart signing for the moment, but I don't think it's practical. It's a good short-term fix, but I don't think it's going to do them any favours for the long-term success of their season. Nastic was a fantastic goalie. You look at the games that he played against us last year, and he was probably the reason why Coventry ran us so close. I don't think they beat us last year.
No,
they beat us. They beat us the year before when he wasn't there. But this year they ran us close nearly every single game, and he was a massive reason why. They've also lost another massive reason why, which is Marco Olivier Valorant. He's departed. They've also lost Jordan Petrus, who was good for a goal against us in every single game he played.
And a hell of a player for them as well, wasn't he?
A hell of a player, and a real talisman for them. They turned to him, and he won in some big games, and he's obviously moved on. And you just look at the team, Coventry, and they have made some reasonable, you know, they've kept Danik Paquette, who was a as much as you love to hate him, he fit right at home in Coventry. One of those players that you absolutely detest playing against. A real Danny Stewart player, actually. I thought they would have had a few more of those in the last couple of years. They haven't. They kept Kevin Noble, which I think any team which keeps Kevin Noble on their tops, on a six-man D unit, even if he's your sixth defenseman, you are not going to have a successful season. I just don't buy it at all. I don't get. I just don't understand why a player like that is still even playing in your, even as your sixth defenseman. Like, you know, you look at our sixth defenseman, it's Bryce Reddick, and his skating ability compared to Noble's is absolutely through the roof. And that's a team which plays on an NHL size pad as well. And he's not very mobile, he's not very tough, not very big. I just don't understand what he brings to that organization, and for them to keep him.
More than a 60, but he, you know, they've got David Clements in their D as well, which, you know, he's a young Brit. You'd expect him to be filling that 60 slot. But it's not even like he's playing bottom pairing minutes. He's getting power play time in previous seasons, power play time, penalty kill time. Mm. He seems to log the minutes that you'd expect of a top line D-man. And, you know, when you're discussing that you wouldn't expect him to be in your, be your 60, Coventry seem to see him as one of their top defensemen, which, if that stays that way this year, it's going to spell, you know, real trouble for him. They have picked up a couple of good defensemen, though. Justin Hash particularly looks the pick of that. 150 AHL games as recently as the season four last, and over a point every other game in Denmark last year. So I think that, yeah, that's a good sign. There's a couple of good signings there, but it's not a team that looks like it's going to do a lot of damage. I think their aim is obviously going to be making the top eight and making it into the playoffs and maybe hopefully getting out of, you know, what will be our Challenge Cup group. But yeah, Danny Stewart's got to be walking a bit of a tightrope at the moment. Do you think that eighth place at the end of last year's maybe saved him? Or were they sticking with him anyway, do you reckon?
It's really difficult to say, because I think that while attendances are up, and Coventry as an organisation just doesn't seem to click with me at all. I think they have some very passionate fans that want their team to do well, and they're holding on to past glory a bit like we used to, in a way that they're holding on and clinging on to it, and they don't seem to want to grow or develop. They, you know, the crowds are going up, but their team is staying still, and I think that's a real shame for the fans. But they just don't seem to have an identity anymore. And when Danny Stewart came in, I really thought that's something which they would have, is an identity. And for some reason, it hasn't come. They've had one or two guys, but they haven't had a team identity as a whole.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And yeah, totally agree that, yeah, Danny Stewart, one of the most dislikable players I can remember in the Elite League yet.
For Coventry and Fife.
Yeah, where is that the only place he played? But anywhere.
Newcastle.
Yeah, he did go to Newcastle. Basingstoke, maybe? Or was that a different Stewart?
Possibly, yeah. Everyone hated him.
The guy had skates on an ice hockey shirt. I hated him. It didn't really matter which one it was. But I haven't found myself hating his teams, which is a good thing, you know. If you're hating a team, they're doing something right. But, yeah, I don't really get what they're trying to do. But we'll find out. Maybe. I think they've got one more player still to sign. So, yeah, I guess that could be something else, but who knows. So that'll be pre-season out of the way. We'll be back just after the bank holiday weekend, where we'll discuss the four CHL games that we'll be looking forward to, as due to travel arrangements, I'd be surprised if we managed to squeeze one out in the middle. But before we wrap up, we have got a burning question from Cameron Jones. There was a second one that we were going to do around which team we thought had recruited the best. We decided we'll leave that to our next week's show, in the hope, well, it'll be 2 weeks, that a few more signings have been made and we can probably have a bit more of an informed discussion. I think it's safe to say Coventry aren't going to make the top of our list. Regardless of the last signing to come in, even if they announce Andrew Hoffman, you've got to think there's an issue there. But the one that we have gone with is, when Parisi is announced as our final D-man, that's the wording of the question, will our defence be better or worse without Andrew Hotham? It's worth noting Tom Parisi is a name that has been rumoured on Twitter for a couple of weeks and been spoke about a lot. Not what we're going to base the question on is the assumption of a D-man of around his standing with AHL experience, if you looked him up. So you're a D-man coming in of that level that you're probably expecting to maybe be one of your top two D-men. You know, is that making us a better or a worse team with the departure of Andrew Hotham? Sean, do you want to? So obviously, the main, you know, taking Paris out as the spare D, if you like, towards the end of the season, you're looking at Strachan and Hotham leaving and Ben Blood and another coming in. You know, where do you think that sort of puts us overall?
I think that our D will be more balanced. Rather than better or worse, I think it'll have more balance to it. You spoke earlier about Gleeson Fournier playing up the lines, and I think, do you know what, last year if we'd given Andrew Hotham reduced minutes, I feel like Gleeson Fournier could have picked up the slack in the scoring. I really, really do. Andrew Hotham was a one-off. There's not many players around like Andrew Hotham you'll find. But I still feel like sometimes we just played him on too many minutes. It's easy to say that, and we were successful doing it. But, you know, could we have been even more successful if we'd given him less? It's really difficult to say, but the balance of our team looks better. We look far more mobile. I feel like although Andrew Hotham was a brilliant player and I'd love to have him back in a heartbeat, wasn't the best skater. I'm sure that there are people in the organisation, on the team that will, you know, say similar. This year we basically replaced Andrew Hotham with Fournier, who was a fantastic skater, one of, if not the best skaters in the league. Strachan, again, I spoke about it earlier, not the most mobile, replaced him with Blood, who is a fantastic skater, proved by his experience in the Finnish league, what we've seen so far. Reddick, great skater. And, you know, Mark Richardson. He's worked on his skating very, very hard the last couple of years, and he's become, again, one of the most mobile defensemen in the league. So I think it really does depend on this last position, and if it is going to be someone in that mould that Tom Parisi style, I think we will have a much more mobile, balanced, much more mobile, much more balanced. And I think it'll offer us a bit more two-way. I think we'll be much better defensively. Our outlet pass will be better. Our transition game will be a bit more speedy, which will benefit us in the CHL. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's the first team in 4 years that we've seen no Andrew Hotham. So, you know, it could be fantastic. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, you know, I'm expecting good things in the team overall. I think, you know, the D is potentially, you know, slightly weaker. Just because Andrew Hotham is that one of a kind, but I agree the balance is better. But, you know, I think, both Todd definitely, I think, Andrew Lord mentioned it as well, that Hotham was clearly one of our top earners. And that's sort of given us a chance to spread that around a little bit more. And, you know, if the result of that is signing Hedden, Dixon and Longley, as your forwards, you know, while the D unit may be taking half a step back, you know, the forward unit's probably taken two or three massive ones forwards. So, you know, as an overall team, I think we are better this year. And yeah, you not putting that solely isn't down to the fact that Hotham was earning enough money to pay for three players. But, you know, I think that will be, you know, in a small part of it, at least, that obviously, you know, everyone coming in new to the league, probably not necessarily making that sort of money, because, you know, Hotham could practically name his price, you'd have thought, in the elite league, but you know, you've just got to make a decision at the end of the day of what the upper one is. So, do you think we'll see him back in the elite league, Sean?
I really, really don't know. My gut says no. I think if Hoth's going to do anything, then he'll try and play one more big year in Europe. You know, he came to us straight from the DEL where he had a reasonably good season. He's proved himself in Cardiff as one of the premier defenseman in the league. You know, he's still on the right side, the right age to play at that level. So I think maybe he may take one more jump at playing at that level to earn a good check and see what happens. Or I think he's recently married. So maybe he's going to find it time to knock hockey on the head. So I don't think we'll see him back in the elite league. Thankfully.
Yeah. Well, that's my, thankfully is definitely my part, that, you know, if we do get him, if, you know, he does carry on playing, I just hope it's not for another team. It's, it was special 4 years with him. So it sort of sour it a bit, because you'd be pretty confident it wouldn't take long to forget the fact that he's Andrew Hotham and just dislike him massively, because he's that good at being a dislikable player.
He's Andrew Hotham.
He's Andrew Hotham and, must be an absolute nightmare to play against. I think we're done though. So went off a little bit off at the end. Thank you for the burning questions, Kenwyn. Anyone who has got any more, get them into us by the end of pre-season. We'll add them all to our pre-CHL show, which will be coming to you just after Bank Holiday Monday. We should be fully back, so we should be bringing back both Aaron and the party. always important. But that's it, Sean. Are you done?
All done. Glad hockey's back. Let's get the real stuff going. Let's kick Europe's ass.
I think that's a perfect note to end it. So thank you all for listening. And for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. Devon inside, the Devon inside. Every single one of us, the Devon inside. Devon inside, Devon inside. Every single one of us, the Devon inside.